Before we get started, however, Lillian LaShawn Fairley, I have your authorization and permission to edit, record, and distribute this podcast on behalf of A Good Person Production, a division of ALM Enterprises, on behalf of On the Edge with April Mahoney Podcast. Is it all good?
Yeah.
All right. Good, 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 good. That's what we want. So here we go. Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. This is the spot, the place where the conversation is pointed. I put my pointer out. The guests are sharp right over there, and the responses are what? Never dull. This is going to be a very fascinating conversation for someone that is up and coming, and I'm so excited to be the first person to interview Miss Lillian LaShawn Fairley. I look at that beautiful smile. She looked like she's a little nervous. I told her, I ain't going to bite you, girl. You ain't got to be nervous. The brains are loving. They are welcoming. They're supportive. You know, it's like the first time I did spoken word poetry. I was nervous. And then you got those hand claps and finger snaps and accolades, and you connected with the audience. So you are going to thrive. So, you know, you right at home. It's all good. So we're going to talk about some challenges that people face, and they discover them at later stages in their life. How has it impacted them? How not knowing a diagnosis has impacted them? What has happened when you find that you and your child experience and share in the same debilitating situation? How do you overcome that? And how do you thrive? But then how do you restructure that, pour it into other people so that they don't have to suffer and know that they are not alone? We're going to talk a little bit about executive disorder and ADHD. And according to Lillian, they are synonymous. They go hand in hand. Now, you know, I know some folks that have not been diagnosed and they have executive disorder. You know, big time executives too. So when you find out that you have something like this that's going on, know that there is help, no matter how old you are. There are tools to be able to adjust and to learn. So Lillian, tell us a little bit about you, your story, and you know where you are today.
My name, like you said, is Lillian LaShawn Fairley. I prefer to go by my middle name, LaShawn. I'm also known as the ADHD cutie on single mompreneurial duty.
Wow.
I was raised in a foster family, the youngest in that family. I am the only child in my birth family. And my son at 36, he was a preemie. He was only 2 pounds when he was born. He came 2 months early. I was told early on that he would have some developmental issues. And as he started kindergarten, like the first week of kindergarten, his teacher noticed right away that he was having some issues. And she suggested I go get him tested for ADHD because she has a son that's ADHD and she herself was ADHD. So got him tested, found out that he did have that, and did some research to find out how I could get help for him in the classroom because he was really struggling in the classrooms. It was always the same comments, that he couldn't be still, wasn't completing assignments, talked too much, just always busy, not focused. And as he got older, and as I'm going through life, I was realizing that I'm seeing the same comments on my job, hearing the same things on my job or at home about myself. And so at almost 50, I decided to go and get an assessment because there's a lot of similarities here. And turns out that I also have ADHD, and I didn't know that it is highly, highly hereditary.
Wow.
So I did a lot of research. I had to do research on how to help him at his age, but also how to help myself as an adult with undiagnosed ADHD. And through my learning, I've discovered that, again, it is highly hereditary. It's not discriminatory, so it doesn't matter what age you are, what race, what socioeconomic background you have. You can have all the degrees in the world and still have ADHD. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Adults that have
I'm sorry, break down that acronym for us. You know, a lot of people know, but what does ADHD stand for?
ADHD stands for Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder.
Okay.
Which most people in the mental health profession will say that it's a misnomer because there is no deficiency in our attention. It's like, it's actually the opposite. We pay attention to everything. We just can't, we have a hard time honing it in, focusing in on one thing because our brains are just constantly flooded with everything.
Right, right.
ADHD really shows up when our brains are not stimulated or when there's low stimulation. Mm. That's why people who have ADHD can focus for hours on a video game or on a business that they're running because that's something that they're highly interested in. So there's high motivation, there's high stimulation there. Whereas they can be struggling at school or even at home because they're very low stimulation and our brains are constantly seeking high stimulation.
Let me dial back a little bit. You said that you were, you grew up in a foster home. And that can be impactful. And that could be maybe one of the reasons why you weren't diagnosed. Were you in a stable foster home or did you move?
I was in a very stable home. I stayed in that foster home from age 3 until age 16. And it only stopped at age 16 because it was 3 months into my senior year in high school, and I came home one afternoon to find an ambulance in front of my house. And went inside the house and found that my foster mom had passed away.
Oh, come on.
Yes, ma'am. So,
and so there was some induced trauma there as well.
That was the moment that literally changed my life forever.
How?
Forever, because my foster mom, for me, resembled unconditional love, understanding, support, safety, security, all that you need as a child growing up. When I lost her, to me, I lost all of that.
Did you ever
felt any of that?
Did you ever seek out or find your biological?
I've always known my biological family. My foster mom made absolutely sure that I stayed in touch with them. And they're in Maryland, which is where we started off. But when we moved to Florida, I literally had to go to court to be allowed to go to Florida with my foster mom because my biological family was contesting. But she made sure that I stayed in touch with them.
Well, that's a beautiful thing. My aunt, two of my aunts have raised foster children, over 50 each one of them. And they have been so impactful in their life. It's a lot of responsibility to welcome a child that's not your own, that has been, for whatever reason, extracted from their biological family. Mm-hmm. They always want their real mama and daddy. So to be able to love them and nurture them, but then for you to be in a safe environment, because a lot of children aren't in a safe environment.
Right.
You know, they're traumatized because of that. So you had a child. Is your son's father in his life?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's some epigenetics there. There's some intergenerational trauma that compiles with the ADHD. And sometimes, unfortunately, people get distracted and they focus on that. So when you found out about your son's diagnosis and you went to seek out and do research, what were some of the steps that you took in awareness and getting him the help that he needs?
Well, when he was first born and I found out that he was, you know, so helpless. I mean, he could literally fit in the palm of my hand. He was that small.
Mm.
And I prayed to God then. I said, if you help me and get him through this. Tell me what I need to know, put the right people in place. Help me to ask the right questions, to get the help that I need. I will fight for him with every breath in my body until my dying day. And so every step that I've done, everything that I've done to try to help him, I've prayed about it first.
Right.
And so I did a lot of research, found people that could help him. I had to find a specialist pediatrician who dealt with that. He had vision processing issues, and those symptoms often mimic ADHD symptoms. So he had to have a specialist for his vision. He needed cognitive therapy, developmental behavioral therapy. He needed a lot of different things that all cost money. Not everything was covered by my insurance. I had to deal with the schools and trying to get them to understand what ADHD really looks like in their classroom. Because the school seems to have just a blanketed general idea of what an ADHD kid looks like. It's that kid that's bouncing off the walls and just out of control and can't stay still and just wreaking havoc in the classroom. My son was not that at all. He was the complete opposite.
Mm.
And so
he was more subdued. He was more repressed. Distracted in a different kind of way.
Right. His busyness was in his head, was in his brain. Because his brain was just all over the place. He couldn't function, he couldn't focus. But also because of his vision processing issue also made it hard to focus. And I had to learn that from his vision specialist. He's like, well, how would you feel if you were sitting in the classroom and you can't see the board? You can't, and then your ADHD is also in there. You can't focus on what the teacher's saying, or you can't remember what she said 5 minutes ago, but you're supposed to be taking notes on it. The main thing I really learned with him and his vision is that it's a vision processing issue, which is totally different from 20/20 vision. Mm. His brain was not correctly processing what his eyes were seeing.
Oh, wow.
So it was a big struggle for him to like copy from the board, because that's a complete process in itself. To look at the board, remember what you saw, focus on your paper, write it on your paper, then refocus your brain back to the board. Get back, you know, find your place where you left off. That is
and retain the information for test time.
Yes, retaining the information to be able to.
And then also explaining it. You know, the doctors can only see so much.
Yes.
But actually trying to explain something that is unexplainable to you. Yes. You know, I can't tell you what I don't know. I don't know what I don't know.
Yes.
So that can be, that could be a whole lot of things. So how did it impact you in the workforce? I mean, you know, you had a very stable career for a long time. You were able to circumvent what was going on. Again, you didn't really realize what was going on. It wasn't apparent to you. But when you found out your diagnosis and you found out what was going on, did your work environment, did you share that with them? Did they try to support you? What was the deal there?
Yes and no. When I first found out about it, I couldn't wait to tell my family, my job, close friends, because those are the ones where I'm hearing all these negative comments from. And that hurts. That stings when it's coming from your close inner circles like that.
What were they saying? And I kind of want to share that. What are they saying to you as an adult versus saying to you, you know, because when they're doing it to your son in school, that's bullying. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just picking out anything. You know, they say you got boogers in your nose and you don't, or slam mm-hmm. you into the locker or take your lunch money. But how does that impact you as an adult? What are people saying?
You're hearing like, what are you thinking? What's wrong with you? That didn't make sense. Why do I have to repeat that over and over and over again? I just told you the same thing yesterday. What do you mean you don't remember that? I just told you that 5 minutes ago. Or you're goofy, you're weird. You're never at your desk. You're always wandering. Oh my God, you talk and talk and talk and just, or you're interrupting conversations. Stop interjecting. You know, what did you, I couldn't tell you what I learned at a meeting if it was a monotonous meeting. And to me, it was monotonous if it didn't directly affect me and my job. There were things we had to know as far as the department was concerned, but if it didn't directly affect me, my brain was off doing something else. And I had to constantly struggle to, you know, to focus it in, to listen to what was being said. And that was hard. It's hard to do that because, again, that's low stimulation for my brain. I was constantly seeing that I was getting written up more and more for either not completing assignments or not following the instruction for certain assignments, or not staying at my desk. That was a big one. It was very hard for me to stay at my desk, to just be still and sit at a computer for hours, keeping up with all the emails and the voicemails and the callbacks. And it just, as I got older, it just got to be a lot.
Wow. Okay, so you come and you get this diagnosis. Do you share that with your HR professional? Because, you know, there are for the lack of a better explanation, special considerations for people that have a disability. If you were in a wheelchair, they would accommodate you a certain kind of way. If you were blind, they would accommodate you a certain kind of way. What was this like for you?
Well, I did a test run with my supervisor first. And it was kind of a, yeah, I understand, but, you know, the job still expects this and this and this and this and this. So once I got that, to me, it was like, okay, it's not safe to share it any further up the chain. Because I also have anxiety, and my anxiety was saying, if you do share this, you could get fired. They could use it against you.
Right. But also you could receive a lot of what depends on who you were working for. And you told me that you were working for a governmental agency. So with that, they would have been a large opportunity maybe for you to make a difference. But you're still making a difference now, you know, working with individuals, because you've now made this your life call to work with women, you know, women in a certain demographic that have this diagnosis, have not been diagnosed, or trying to work through it. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing now and the efforts that you're putting behind this to raise awareness.
Well, first I have to say that it is a constant daily struggle. I've taught myself some strategies. I've learned some strategies from different podcasts and ADHD experts, but it's a daily practice. It's a daily thing that you have to do, pretty much like getting up and getting dressed every day, breathing. It's a conscious daily thing that you have to do for yourself.
What are some of the things that you do for yourself?
Some of the things I have to do, like I have to write things down, but I can't just write it on a piece of paper, because as I was doing that, I was losing the paper where I wrote it down. And because of my anxiety, many people don't know that the brain protects itself the same way that the body does with the fight, flight, or freeze. My instance, my brain freezes. Because the anxiety just completely takes over and I cannot think because I'm overwhelmed with anxiety. Oh my God. Oh my God, I lost this. Oh my God, I lost this. I'm gonna get fired. Oh my God, I'm gonna be late. I'm gonna be fired. Oh my God. It's that going on with the ADHD. And so I had to start writing things down in a specific place, like a calendar or an organizer, but not just write it down. I had to keep it in front of me, because if I put it to the side somewhere and it's not in my visual field, again, I'll forget it. I can write in a very important appointment in my appointment book, but if that book is not in front of me every day, I'll completely forget.
So you write things down. Do you have a certain protocol or certain ritual, certain mechanic that you do things? Like, you know, I get up, I eat, I schedule everything so that I am staying on task.
Yes, I definitely have to do that, especially now working from home and being home all the time. All my online courses, that's at home. My business that I'm starting, that's at home. So again, like I said, I have to write everything down. That's a big part of my ritual. I have an Alexa in every room as reminders. So maybe like 30 minutes out, I'll set a reminder for whatever upcoming meeting is or an appointment or phone call. I definitely make sure I get up and eat something, because you got to feed your brain. Coffee is not food for the brain.
Okay.
But coffee,
you say you eat something. You know, a lot of people are identifying food as medicine that really help in certain situations. Do you have a certain, you know, diet or certain things you incorporate in your diet? Minerals, supplements? Are you doing any Reiki? Are you doing any emotional freedom technique? Girl, I got a list for you.
I've been eating more fruit. I still need to work on the vegetable part. But for me, getting my vegetables, I make a smoothie. And I'll put lots of fruits and vegetables in the smoothie and make it taste real good, sweeten it with honey. And that's how I get that. Mm-hmm. But again, the ADHD thing is I don't always remember to make the smoothie. Mm-hmm. It's not exciting. It's not fun. Sugar,
a lot of people say the sugar is an impactor.
It is the wrong kind of sugar and too much sugar. Yes. Also, different artificial colors are bad or impactful. My son's pediatrician used to always say, keep him away from anything red, because red dye was the worst thing for ADHD.
Wow.
Yeah. So
so dial back a little bit. Where's your son? How old is your son and where is he at today?
He is here in his bedroom. He's 18.
Tell him me and the brain said, hey, hello.
The brain said, hey. he's 18. We got him through high school. He graduated successfully, thank God. But it was a fight the whole 12 years. Because trying to get the school to understand what ADHD really looks like is a whole nother story.
Well, and because there's so much inconsistency, you got different teachers, you got different classes, you got some that really are caring, you got some that don't give a shit, they just there for the paycheck. You got the administrators that's trying to deal with the whole thing, the parents. So it's a lot going on. So to get that individualized attention that you need sometimes, and I say this with love, is an unrealistic expectation of the parent. Mm-hmm. My niece works with children that have Asperger's and autism and ADHD. And she said it is such a challenge when they get a diagnosis and they have a cocktail. They've got two or three of these things. Mm-hmm. Was your son ever
on comorbidity?
Was your son ever on medication?
Yes, he still is.
Yeah. And see, that's a challenge too. What works? How much works? What are the side effects? What are the challenges? And it can take 2 to 3 months to really show up.
Because most people don't understand that there's more than one type of ADHD. That is the problem. You're putting a blanket treatment on something that's different. There's three main subcategories of ADHD. There's hyper, inattentive, and then there's combined. If you're treating the inattentive like it's the hyper, you're not going to have the right effect. I learned that from dealing with my son. He and I have different ones. I have more of the hyper. He has more of the inattentive. I tried to take his medicine one day thinking that it would keep me calm for this important meeting. I was off the charts, like I was high. Totally, totally different result. because I didn't know that that there were different types of ADHD. I figured, hey, we both have ADHD, I can take his medicine. Mm. No.
Wow. And the cost of the medicine is not cheap.
It is not cheap at all.
And sometimes it's not covered, you know, and then heaven forbid that, you know, you might be able to get some government assistance, but after you've been through a barrage of tests and diagnosis and misdiagnosis and different doctors and denials from the insurance company, it can be extremely frustrating. So I'm glad that you went to the main doctor and took it to the room of the Lord, because
I had to take it to the room. I had to take it to the room of the Lord, because like you said, it is very frustrating, because the school has their rules, the medical profession has their rules, and it was always a fight back and forth between the two. Medical says, yes, he has ADHD, it impacts his learning. School says, we don't recognize ADHD as affecting his learning because he's making such good grades. Mm. Well, they're not understanding. ADHD has nothing to do with his grades. He is able to do it. The problem is the process that it takes to get it done, which are your executive function skills. That is what he's struggling with. How to get it done, how to start, what's the next step? That's what he's struggling with. That's the piece that they're not getting, but that's not taught in schools.
So now, is he a part of a support group? Does he, you know, does he work with other young, because I could see him being one hell of a mentor.
I could definitely see him being that, but at 18, they're not interested in doing that.
Oh, no.
18, they don't want to hear that they've got ADHD and that they're different, and you got to look out for hanging out with these friends and be careful of this and be mindful of that, because the ADHD brain, no matter what age it is, doesn't always understand being taken advantage of, being judged, being used for someone else's gain. And unfortunately, a lot of people do that when they find out that you have ADHD, or when they just see that you don't get it. You know, he's easy target. I'm taking advantage. He's nice. It'll go right over his head. They take advantage of that. Trying to teach him that is very difficult.
I can imagine. So where are you at now? You have an opportunity to speak on stage. I'm so proud of you. You got your notes in order now, I'm sure.
Yeah, I have a whole bunch of notes right here.
Have your cards right there? That's okay. Because you are going to touch so many people. You are going to touch so many people with this interview. You are going to let them know that, you know what? I'm not crazy. I just learn a different kind of way.
And have the
assessment, have the test done. If you're getting all these snarky comments that, you know, you're weird and you're not organized, you're not standing in your seat, listen to those things and you go, wow, you know, even though I'm 50, 55, it's never too late to peel back the layers of that onion and watch it blossom.
Yeah. And just because it's coming from family doesn't mean it's validated. They too can misjudge and not understand what they're seeing. You've got to do your own research and you've got to be your own advocate to fight for yourself and say, hey, no, it's not what you think. This is what's really going on, whether you believe it or not, whether you accept it or not. This is what's going on. ADHD is a real thing. So many people still don't believe it is. So a lot of medical people still don't believe it is, especially in the community.
Well, you know, there's shame associated with it. Oh, well, you know, they just a little busy. They don't want to talk about, you know, cousin Tipsy got a little tick. You know, they want to suppress it. Don't worry about it, girl. She's special or this, that.
My favorite one is you're a strong Black woman, girl. You can do it.
Well, you know,
even strong Black women need help.
You're not a one-legged stool.
No, we need help, even as strong Black women. My strength, I had to realize that my strength is going to look different from yours.
Right.
It's going to show up differently from yours because I think differently, I process differently, I am differently. And I'm just now getting to the point where it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
it's okay. I'm sorry that you don't agree or you don't like it and you feel threatened or whatever your reason is, but it's okay for me to be different. God created me as this beautiful black round peg that was not meant to be forced into your man-made square box.
Oh, now, tell him.
I got to the point where I can't do this anymore. I'm not doing this anymore because now there's another person involved.
Right. Well, I'm so glad that you're liberated and that you found the answer to that yearning question of why am I different? And why am I special? Why am I unique? God makes no mistakes.
Yes.
To whom much is given, much is required. And he gave it to you because you were able to carry the load.
Yep.
And turn your pain into your passion and hopefully into your payday, because you're going to be writing books. You're going to be on the speaking circuit. You're going to be on television interviews. Girl, I'm going to speak it into fruition for you.
My aha moment came one day when I was listening to a T.D. Jakes sermon on YouTube. And he was speaking about David when he was young, still out in the fields. Mm-hmm. And the king asked for all of his sons to be brought in because they were looking for someone to appoint to be the next king and take over. Mm-hmm. Well, they brought all the sons except for David. David was the youngest. He was the puniest. They didn't see him as, you know, doing much or being much because he wasn't successful in their eyes. Mm-hmm. So he was excluded. Mm-hmm. And the king was like, well, you've got to have more than one son. Don't you have another son? And they're like, yeah, he's the youngest and he's small and he's, you know, well, we'll wait for you. You need to bring him to us. David got anointed that day to be king. It was years before he took that position, but he was anointed when he was still a nobody, underestimated, misjudged. That is how I felt for years. And it wasn't until I stepped away from all that, left that good government job, relocated down here to Florida, and heard God tell me, you're my David. Mm. You're the one that I have appointed to bring this message. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you got to walk it alone. You're not alone because I'm always with you.
That's right.
But earthly people, you're going to be alone because it's not their journey. They will never understand this journey. It's your purpose that I put in for you. You've got to do it. And this is how I want you to do it.
Well, you're doing a phenomenal job. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you. They want to do a little bit deep dive. They want to be friends. They want to have some support because I think that you're a wonderful friend. I'm sorry you're there. If you were here, we'd be eating and talking and laughing and doing all kind of stuff. But you're just a point and a click away. And I'm so glad that you gave me the esteemed pleasure and honor of sharing in your story and sharing this with the world. Thank you. Know, again, you know, black, white, straight, gay, fat, ugly, no matter. We're all made in God's image.
Yes.
And so, you know, we have to deal with the hand that we're dealt. And
yes. You've got to figure out what that purpose is as to why you created the way you created. It's not a curse. I am not a failed version of normal. Mm. I was created with ADHD for a purpose. I had a son with ADHD for a purpose. How can I present myself as an expert on ADHD if I don't have the experience to back it up?
Right.
Not a degree.
Right.
I'm not a teacher. I'm not a professional, a licensed professional, but I have the experience. I am you. Mm-hmm. My son, that's your kid. My son is your kid. So you get tired and frustrated and angry. And all those are symptoms of ADHD. Anger is part of the ADHD symptoms. Most people don't know that. But I got so frustrated and tired of feeling like this, of people saying these things about me. Mm. And I was just like, I've got to do something for me because I don't want this spilling over to my son. But it was.
Right.
It was.
He has his own journey. And he'll find his own way. He's looking at you. You're an esteemed role model. But how do they get in contact with you, LaShawn? They can
email me at liftyouradhdvoices@myself.com.
One more time?
Lift your ADHD voices at myself.com. I'm also on Facebook and Instagram at Lift Your ADHD Black Voices.
Okay. So I want you to stand up tall and proud because we are who we are. Yeah. Thank you, Brains, for being here on the edge with me and LaShawn. I'm so happy, again, to see that beautiful smile.
Thank you so much.
There's hope for us, Brains. The struggle is real. The struggle is real. And everybody is struggling with something. Yeah. Some people, you can see their scars. Others, you can't. So don't judge. You know, when you look in the mirror, you don't see perfection. You see imperfection at work. Thank you so much again. I adore you, my sister.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Bye, Brains.
Bye, Brains.